All right. Thank you, Dr. Olson. As you said, today I'll be presenting on our Bermuda grass and DDGS studies. So the big question we get is, because of all the DDGS work that is out there, why are we still working with it? Why do we choose it? Why are we doing anything related to it? Well, we all know it's a byproduct of ethanol. One of the big reasons we're working with it is, one, it's readily available. Two, it's of high interest. So our funding sources and other interest parties, stakeholders and the like, are really wanting more information to deal with it. But what we did was a little bit of a twist on this. Generally been evaluated in terms of other forage systems, and if you've heard me speak on this particular set of projects, you've heard this before. But we've seen it on native rangeland. You can have increased average daily gains. Supplementation for optimum gain has been shown can be in excess of 1% body weight per day. Some of the initial work done with this and Bermuda grass showed that about 2 pounds or 1 kilo per head per day, about a third of a percent body weight, was able to increase about a quarter kilo a day average daily gain on Bermuda grass pastures, and that was some of the work that occurred up in Arkansas. So what we want to do was expand on this and evaluate multiple objectives. So we were looking at the effect of DGS supplementation on just boss tarsus cross animals grazing 1585 Bermuda grass. We were looking at species effects, cattle species effects, indicus or tarsus, on our coastal pastures, carryover effects into the feedlot, in situ digestibility, in vitro digestibility, economic viability. If you could measure it, we did it. Specifically, what I'll be discussing today are the two experiments where we evaluated the supplementation in terms of stocker programs. So in our first experiment, we were looking at the Tifton 85 experiment. In this case, we were supplementing with four levels of DDGS. And then our second experiment had our cattle species effect, where we had three levels of DDGS. So in these studies, we were working with a little over 100 test animals across 2 years, 112 in the Tifton, 117 in the coastal. Both were approximately 350 kilograms initial body weight, and these were long yearling steers for stocker trials, so about 15 months of age. All of them were sourced from either Overton or our research herd in College Station. For our Tifton experiment, we were using 16 pastures of about 3/4 of a hectare apiece. For our coastal experiment, we were using 9 pastures of about 1 1/4, and that was just the pastures we had available to us as a reason for the uneven numbers. All pastures were treated the same with about 364 kilograms per hectare of a complete blended fertilizer, and then on approximately 6 week intervals, we had 224 kilograms per hectare of just a nitrogen source. For both of our trials, steers were stratified by body weight within source and breed type, and then allocated randomly to pastures. Now, in terms of our coastal experiment, we were looking at just the control, the 1/4% body weight of distiller's grain, or the 1%. For Tifton, because we did have a multiple of 4 pastures and more pastures to evaluate more treatments, we included a 0.5% body weight in that. Because of that structure, we were not able to analyze these experiments together, so I'll be presenting these independently and just discussing some of the differences that we saw based on cultivar. All of our DDGS was sourced out of a local cooperative association. Most of it was Dakota Gold source, but I do know that on one of the last shipments they did change sources, so that's about all we know on that. And we did include 2% limestone to balance calcium-phosphorus ratios. We did get an analysis on our DDGS. This is part of the newer DDG where we have the reduced crude fat. We're down from 8 to 12% that was in the previous years. We're now in the extra oil extraction where we're down around 6%. And everything else seems to be pretty well in line with what we would expect of the product. All of our animals in both experiments were fed about 8 a.m. daily, allow enough bunk space for all the animals, and then all steers were provided ad libitum access to water and a trace mineral supplement. So for our experiments, both experiments were initiated in June. For our Tifton experiments, we were able to get onto the pastures earlier, either June 11th or 3rd. And then for the coastal, because of some other experiments that happened on those pastures, we had to go in later, usually about the 3rd week of June. For both experiments, we were weighing these animals every 21 days. We got about 110 days out of the Tifton pastures, a little less than 100 days out of the coastal pastures. in both years, and the forage mass was evaluated on those 21-day intervals to allow for some calculations of forage mass and allowance. We did take nutritive value samples of the pastures every 14 days. Again, like I was saying, we did have to analyze these experiments separately because of the design. In the Tifton experiment, we were just looking at the fixed effect of DDGS treatment, random effects of animal then pasture, pasture then treatment in year. Coastal, we were able to include some interactions. We have the DDGS treatment, the cattle species, and their interaction. So we were able to get a little more information out of that particular experiment. So I'm going to present this kind of flipping back and forth. We're going to talk about one particular response variable, and then we'll flip between Tifton and Coastal, giving you kind of an immediate comparison between the two. Just talking about in terms of average daily gain, what we were able to see is the greatest average daily gain from the 1% supplemented animals, about 1.3 kilograms per day. Quarter and half percent of body weight were not different from each other, definitely less than the 1% body weight, and everything was greater than control. So we did see that supplementation response on all treatments in the Tifton 85 experiment. The same cannot be said when we move to Coastal. First off, we're shifting those average daily gains down by between a quarter and half a kilo per day. We are still seeing the greatest response out of that 1%, but at low levels of supplementation, we're losing the effect, the additive effect, on the coastal pastures. The better explanation of this story is the supplemental feed extra gain ratios. So how much of the DDGS did it take to achieve 1 kilo of gain? Even though we did see that increased gain, the most gain out of the 1%, it's not necessarily the most efficient. It's still taking us about 9 kilos of feed to achieve that 1 kilo of gain. Whereas when we move down to the 0.25%, we're shifting that down by almost a third. We're down to about a third of what it takes in terms of the 1%. When you move into the coastal, we have some very extreme observations. 0.25%, like we said, didn't really achieve anything in terms of gain beyond the control, so we have a highly unrealistic feed-to-gain ratio. And what we see on the 1% is it is inflated beyond what we saw in the Tifton. Stocking rate effects, trying to pull this story together. Even though we did see the increased gains, meaning that they might have had an additive gain or possibly a substitution, we were able to see increased stocking rates on the Tifton 85, no difference in stocking rate for the 0.25% or 0.5% body weight. So this means that in the 1%, we probably are observing that substitution effect. They're not eating as much of the forage. We're able to get more animals onto that pasture, where the gains that we observed in the 0.25% and 0.5% are probably positive associative effects or additive effects. Same story when we get to the coastal. We have the greatest stocking rate out of the 1% body weight supplementation, so we are seeing that likely substitution effect, where when we get to the 0.25%, we're able to see a numeric increase in the 0.25% in terms of stocking rate, but it's not anything different from the control, so they're really not that much different from each other. Pulling it together in terms of the gain per hectare, we are seeing the most gain out of the 1%, combining that increased stocking rate with the increased gain, different from the 0.25% and 0.5%, and all different from the control. So the effect of supplementation is observed in all levels of supplement. And this is where we may actually see that potential for increased monetary return to the producer. Even though when we did put some economic values to this, just some rough back-of-the-napkin calculations, this was probably not going to be economically viable. You were better off somewhere in this range, getting a little bit less per hectare, but not having to put out quite as much in terms of the upfront cost. Similar situation on coastal, except in you would need to go with 1% before you saw any benefit of the supplementation strategy because of the difference we had in the gains and the stocking rates. So this supplementation strategy on coastal, combining the 2 years of data, it really didn't turn out to be much of an economic viability when we did those just back-of-the-napkin calculations. even though we did not see a full interaction effect of the cattle species by treatment, we decided to separate those out just for visual observation's sake. The 1% are still the greatest, no difference among the species. But if you just look at this visually, we're seeing the difference in 3/10 of a kilogram a day between the Bos indicus and the Bos taurus cross animals. So even though we don't pick this up necessarily, there is a definite trend that we may be able to observe if this were to be repeated, in those Bos indicus animals are outperforming our Bos taurus cross. And very interesting that we would see that case. Supplementation to extra gain, same thing. We're seeing the Bos indicus, Bos taurus. The supplementation to extra gain ratio is not that different, even though we are seeing that big difference in gain. So it may be something in the physiology of the animal. As we know about Bos indicus animals being more efficient on pasture, there may be an animal physiology explanation to why we're seeing that increased performance out of those animals. So to draw some conclusions from our Tifton 85 experiments, we observed the optimum biological efficiency of supplementation around that 0.25% of body weight. That's backed up in numerous supplementation studies with different sources over the years, going back 30, 40 years even. Increased average daily gain at rates as low as 0.25% of body weight, and we optimized that supplemental feed to extra gain ratio that was really our indicator in the experiment. Level supplementation above that efficiency is likely to yield the substitution effects that we're familiar with in these type of studies. And because of the combination of response variables, we are able to assume that we did observe that supplementation at the 1% body weight level. In coastal, we've got a different story. We don't see that biological efficiency until we get up to an extreme level of supplementation, no difference at the 0.25% body weight, and then we see really unrealistic supplemental feed to extra gain ratios. So the supplementation strategy, at least in what we're observing, may not be the most viable situation. And then Bos indicus cattle may outperform Bos taurus cattle. There's at least a trend toward that, possibly due to an increased efficiency of feed utilization. And it would take, of course, more experimentation to tease that out, but we do see a definite trend toward that. And since I'm feeling the shepherd's hook behind me, I'm going to go ahead and call it there.
All right, we have 2 minutes, so we have time for a couple of questions.
Dr. Muir.
Economics. With the low cost of petroleum around the world, what's your view on economics compared to the future of the GPS? Part of course, heroic efforts on our part of consuming whiskey.
Well, I figured we were helping that out a little bit. I think it's going to be a cyclical market like any of our other commodities. It's going to follow the price of petroleum. Right now, DDGS is probably not going to be the best. Last prices I saw, they were coming up a little bit because we're not producing as much. There's not that glut of the commodity. I did a DGS experiment 3 years ago, and at that time, it was the most economic thing you could find on the market. So what do I see? I think it's going to follow your time series cyclical trend. I don't think we're going to head in any one direction.
Any other questions? All right, we thank our speaker. Thank you.